three families that's got cancer, they said. And knowing that and knowing that God is able to heal. Doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the sickness. It doesn't matter how bad it may be. God has healed in the past. He's healing now. And if time goes on, He's going to heal in the future. And I want you to know that God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's good to see you tonight, but I have to tell you, I didn't come just to see you. I came to deliver my soul tonight and to give to you what I feel. My desire, as you're turning to 2 Kings chapter number 19, my desire tonight is that everybody in this house falls into these altars and gets what you need from God.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
My desire is if somebody is here that does not know the Lord, that you'll find Him tonight.
Yes, sir.
And if you know the Lord, that you'll find Him even closer.
Yes, sir.
In this service tonight.
Glory, glory.
And let's begin at verse number 10 of 2 Kings chapter number 19. The Bible said, "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? As Gozan and Haran and Resaph and the children of Eden which were in Phellasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva?" Say those pretty quick, fast, one time. "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. They were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us out of His hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only." You may be seated. Let me say, I appreciate everyone from the church coming tonight. We've got some that came all the way from Northern Kentucky.
Thank you,
and we appreciate them coming.
Thank you.
Everyone here tonight, we're glad that you're here. But I want to preach tonight just for a little while on don't fret at Satan's threat.
Woo!
Don't fret at Satan's threat.
Come on, brother.
When you look back into the history of King Hezekiah, you'll find that he was a godly king. He trusted in the Lord. He destroyed the idols that Israel had begun to worship. And Hezekiah's father was king before him. But Ahaz was a wicked man who ignored the advice of the prophets and had asked the king of Assyria for help whenever Jerusalem was being threatened. But this came at a great price. For you see, the king of Assyria began to oppress Judah himself. And Hezekiah began to rebel against this oppression. And another Assyrian king had sent a great army against Jerusalem. And his general began to publicly insult and blaspheme the king. And began to publicly insult and blaspheme God. And he even went as far to say that because of Hezekiah, that God had departed from Judah and become an ally of the king of Israel, or king of Assyria. He began to say, because of your king, God has switched sides. God is now on my side. And so it just began to eat at the people and began to eat at Hezekiah. And when he had heard that all that the general was saying, he was troubled and greatly troubled and began to seek counsel of Isaiah the prophet. And he went, and the Bible says that Isaiah said unto him, "Thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." He told them, "I don't want you to be afraid of what all that the enemy is beginning to say." The king of Assyria then sent a letter to Hezekiah that brings us to where that we read tonight. And there were six things that in this letter that he began to tell him. He said, to depend on a military alliance with Egypt is foolish. He said, depending on your God is worthless. He began to tell him that the Assyrian army is invincible. It cannot be defeated. He said, your God has commissioned us to destroy you. He said, surrender and we'll provide you a prosperous life. He went on to say that other cities' gods were ineffective against us and our God. And he said, what can you do? What can your God do except surrender to me? And so then we find Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And then he went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. Now what we find at the end of this story is that God destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and the king was murdered by his own sons. I want to tell you that whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you tonight that I don't know what all that the devil has been telling you. I know what he's been telling me. And I know that the fear that at times have gripped my heart, because I don't know what he has planned all the time. And I don't know what he has in his mind all the time. But one thing that I do know, and I stand here tonight with a surety in my soul, is that we serve a living God who said, do not be afraid at his words. Do not be afraid at his face. He told Joshua, be strong and be courageous, for everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you that land. You see, Joshua, amen, here they were. They understood at a time whenever Moses sent out the 12 spies. And 10 of them came back with a bad report. But there were two men that said, amen, we understand that there are giants in the land. We know all about it. We know the problems. We know that it's going to be difficult. But God said that we can have it. And we are well able to take this for God. We are well able to take the inheritance that God has given us. And so, as you read in that story in Numbers 13, you find, even that they went around basically in circles for 40 years. And they never did within that time. They didn't go in until after even their journey in the wilderness. But I read that Joshua, the Bible tells us that Joshua and Caleb was of a different spirit than those other 10. And that Caleb at one time said, I was 40 years old whenever we spied out the land. And he said, I was able to take it then. He said, but now I'm 85 and I'm just as strong as I've ever been and I can take the land. I want to tell you that he knew the giants was there, but he served a living God and was able to take down every giant that would stand in his way. He did not look at the giant and become afraid. But David went out with 5 smooth stones. And I want to tell you, listen, amen, you know, I've often wondered about why that he chose 5, because he served the God that he knew would be able to use just one. But you know, they tell me that Goliath had 4 brothers. And it may be that David said, I'll kill Goliath, and if his brothers want some too, I'll kill them also. But I want to tell you this, listen, even David went and got those 5 smooth stones. And when his brothers and everybody else ran away and they went and hid, David said, just let me go out there. I'll fight against this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the name of God.
And David went out and he faced a giant. But the Bible said that he ran. I want to tell you that there was no fear. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus is able to take the fear out of your situation. He is able to take the fear that you have in anything you're going through. You might think that the devil's going to get the best of you. And you might think that the enemy is going to take what you have. But I want to tell you, amen, that victory is here tonight. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He that is within us is greater than He that's within the world. And you tonight can have victory if you'll trust in God. Solomon said that He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Isaiah said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. It means this, that you're going to go through the fire. God never said that you would not go through the fire. You're going to pass through the waters. Amen. You're going to go through the rivers. But He said, I will be with thee. Amen. You know what? This is this to me tonight. Amen. It is amazing. Did you notice the wording of that verse? Amen. Did you notice whenever it mentioned those particular things? And it mentioned the waters. And it mentioned the rivers. And it mentioned the fire. I want you to notice what it says about it. When thou passest through the waters. He said, when through the rivers. And when thou walkest through the fire. That lets me know. Even David said it like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. God is with you every step as you're walking through your trial. You might not understand why. And we don't always understand why. Amen. We question why. I know we preach that we shouldn't question why. But every one of us are human tonight. And we, everyone, want to know why. We're not questioning why with anger necessarily. But sometimes we don't understand. I mean, you know, you don't understand whenever you feel a pain and it's beginning to bother you and you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, I've got bad news. And you may wonder why. And you may get in a place of discouragement. And you may even get in a place of depression. And you wonder, why is this happening to you? Why is this circumstance happening to you? And I don't have the answer as to why. But I do know this. I do know that whatever it is, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the river, when you pass through the fire, that He is with us. Amen. That fire is not going to burn you, just like we find with the Hebrew children. We find that they're in the fiery furnace. Amen. The Bible said that the king looked in and he saw the fourth man in there. Amen. I thought we threw three men. There's a fourth one in there, like unto the Son of God. And I want to tell you that when they came out, not a hair of their head was singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. I want you to know that God is able to keep you, amen, through the furnace of affliction. God is able to keep you through the valley. God is able to keep you when you're walking up and climbing up the mountain. God is able to keep you. And so tonight, you know, I find that there's so many people that battle depression. And sometimes it's a valley that you really cannot do anything to get yourself out of it yourself. You feel like you're in a pit. And you're scratching at the walls trying to climb up, but all you do is slide right back down. You try to dig yourself out and it ain't working. But there will come a time when you hold on and you keep praying and trusting God. And you keep coming to church and raising your hands when you don't feel like it.
Come on, son.
And you keep singing when you don't feel like it.
Come on, son.
And you keep smiling when you don't feel like it. There's going to come a point whenever you're going to see a big hand reach down into that pit.
And He's going to lift you right out. He's going to lift you right out. Now, I don't mean to step on any toes.
Come on, brother.
I don't mean to get to cross you tonight. That's not what I'm trying to do. My heart is to help you.
Yes,
I want you to know that this mankind's man's remedies for things may only get you so far. It may be able to regulate the symptoms of it, but God can completely deliver from it. Did you hear me? God can completely deliver from it. And so when the devil tells you, this is your story, this is the way it's going to be, it may be tonight that you're struggling with something in your life, and the devil's telling you, you're always going to be a failure. Why? Don't you see what I've done to them? Don't you see what I've done to that one? You might as well just give up and wave the white flag. Because I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, I'm going to get you. Sooner or later, you're going to be mine. Sooner or later, you see, He may be telling you, I'm going to split your family up. I'm going to take everything you got away from you. I'm going to take your mind away from you. I'm going to put so much on you that you're going to lose your mind. He may be telling you that you might as well not even go to church because ain't going to get anything out of it anyway. Because you're so low down and feeling so low that you got to reach up just to touch the bottom. You feel like that there's no way. In fact, you may have come in tonight feeling like you might as well just crawl underneath the pew somewhere. You didn't feel like shaking anybody's hand. And when they said, how are you doing? You know that you're not doing well, but you don't want to talk about it. So you shake their hand and you say, I'm doing fine. And you know, you may even be one of those type people that you smile. And you've got everybody in this church full, but God knows right where you are. God knows right where you are tonight, and He sees your heart, and He knows what you're going through in this service tonight. God even heard the words that you've said. God knows the thoughts that you've had today. God knows everything that you've gone through this week. And He's aware of it. You know what He's telling you tonight? He's telling you, I know what the devil said to you. I've heard what he said to you. I know about it, but don't be afraid. Because he's saying to you, I am the Lord thy God. Amen. Which was and is to come. He's letting you know that he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And therefore, brother and sister, your problem ain't no different. And he's able to move upon it. He's able to heal you. Oh, yes. He laid it out before the Lord. Lord, He's telling me that it don't matter what I do. He's going to overtake me. He's going to overcome. He may have said, Lord, you know that right now we're not very strong because the people are fearful. They're weak because they're scared. They're scared because they hear all this talk. There's people going through, the generals going through, laughing and looking at them and saying, if you might as well convince your king it's coming, I'm going to defeat you just like I defeated all these other cities. And no doubt the rumors had already spread about those other cities. And all they had to do was mention the cities' names for them to understand. And they knew the story. And the story wasn't good. Hundreds of people destroyed. Hundreds of women and children killed because of this king. And the fathers looked at their children and looked at the wife and thought, my God, you know, they're coming after us. They're going to destroy us just like they destroyed them. They're going to do the same to us. And the king looks at this and he says, I've got to protect my people. I've got to do everything that I can to protect them. And he realized that he could not do it within his might. He realized that he could not do it in himself. He realized that there was nothing that he could do. But he knew that as God said, amen, it is not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I want to tell you that it is not in your strength or your ideas or your remedies that's going to get it done. But it is according to God and His might, His strength,
His Spirit. It's according to Him. And tonight I'm telling you that what you need to do is you need to find a place tonight in this altar, and you need to lay it out before God and say, this is what I've heard all week long. This is what the devil has said. He's told me your home ain't never going to get any better. He said your husband, your wife, your children ain't never going to be saved. He lets you know. And if you've been serving God all these years, and look where you are. Look at all the trouble that you're going through. But I'm going to let you know that God is aware, and God sees it every bit. And if you'll turn it over to the Lord can turn your trouble and turn your trial into a blessing if you fall in and give it to God. He is able. He is able. He is able. I preached one time. I preached one time on devil, your request has been denied. You have requested that I sit down and that I give up, but your request has been denied. Devil, you have told me I might as well stop singing, but your request has been denied. Devil, you've told me to doubt. You've been putting all kinds of problems on me. You've been putting all kinds of trouble. It's been a while since I've been able to shout the victory. But devil, your request has been denied. And tonight can be the night that you serve notice on hell that your request has been denied. You tried to get me back into the pit, but your request has been denied. You've tried doing everything you can. I mean, sometimes if we're not careful, I'm closing, but sometimes if we're not careful, we will begin to almost, not mean to, but glory in the power of the enemy.
Right.
By talking about how bad, and it's not belittling the trouble, but sometimes in our mind, we'll only think, and it's natural, only think of the pain of the problem. But if we're not careful, we will not consider the power of God. We'll not consider the power of God. God destroyed this Assyrian army. God destroyed the king of Assyria. His own sons killed him. I want to tell you that if you will trust in the Lord, if you will trust in the Lord, you'll be safe.
Yes.
If you'll trust in the Lord, you'll be safe. If somebody will come to this piano tonight, I'm not a long-winded preacher.
Come on, Brother Dwayne.
My sister, if you will come tonight, or whoever, somebody, yeah. Sister Poole, come tonight,
yeah,
if you
come
will.
On, Sister Poole. Come on, Brother Dwayne.
Everything in this service tonight, the singing, the preaching, everything points to right here tonight, what we're about ready to do. It would not matter to me if I said one word in the service tonight if these altars were lined with people getting what they needed from God. But the key is up to you tonight, and it's up to me what we do right now. And it may be tonight that your heart is not right with God. It may be tonight that you're... If you die tonight, that you wouldn't make it to heaven. It may be that you are not ready to go. You may be living in a miserable state without God. But I want to let you know that you could spread it out before the Lord. You don't have to let the devil finish your life story. You don't have to let him write your life story. But you could give it to God and let Him finish it.
Yes, amen.
There are so many in this day, and you know, it disturbed me, you know, whenever I read about the young man that was raised by his grandparents. They went to church. He heard the singing. I don't know what kind of church it was.
He heard the singing. He heard the preaching. And I can just guess that at some point or another, God may have dealt with that young man's heart. But he became hard over time, and he wouldn't listen. And for some reason, he walks into a school and he kills fellow classmates. And whenever they began to look at this young man, why did he do it? What is the purpose? What is the reason? Everybody that knew him could not believe it. A pastor lived next door to them and had a ministry for troubled teens. And he said he showed no signs. I don't understand. His grandparents could not figure out why. And when they looked in this young man's history, they found that he was neglected by mom and dad. And he was pushed away. You see, there's a lot of hurts and a lot of problems. And Jesus is the answer to every single one of them. That young man let the devil begin to write his story. And rather than spread it out before God and saying, God, I don't understand why that I was neglected. I don't understand why. It doesn't make any sense to me, God, but you're going to have to help me. And he had. I can't help but believe he had an opportunity. How many people have an opportunity, but rather than take that opportunity, they end their life. Rather than say, Lord, you know where I am. Living with bitterness, living with anger. You know how many people sit in our churches that are angry? You know how many people sit in our churches that have bore the scars of problems in the past? I was at a camp meeting when I evangelized. It was at a camp meeting in Oklahoma, and a preacher got up and preached a message. I ain't never heard preached at a camp meeting. And he preached on abuse. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, I saw grown people come out of their pews with tears flowing down because of things that happened in their childhood. Things that nobody knew, but God did. And He said, now's the time that you let me give you victory. Now's the time. I can't help what's happened in people's past. You can't help what's happened in your past, but you sure can help right now, and you can help the future. I want to tell you, you can live and continue to live in that area if you want to. You can continue to let the devil tell you this is the way you're going to be and that's it. Do you know that the enemy tells people you're going to live that lifestyle because that's who you are? Brother, I want you to know something. I believe that God can deliver the drug addict. I believe God can deliver the alcoholic. I believe God can deliver the lesbian. I believe God can deliver the homosexual. I believe God could deliver the pervert. I believe. Come on now, listen now. Hey, we're living in 2012. Things ain't like they used to be. God is still able to deliver, but they got to spread it out and say, Lord, this is what the devil's told me. Don't you know the devil's a liar? He's a liar. And so I know we as holiness folks, you know, we're the type that we just battle it all up inside. And don't let nothing show to people. No. I mean, you know, preachers preach like this. And, you know, he preaches about something that, you know, going through. And sometimes it's hard. You know, almost got to take a lasso and lasso folks to pull them to the altar. Because sometimes it's very difficult to admit we need help. But we need to have that blind Bartimaeus spirit. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. It ain't like the devil to say, be quiet. Don't ask for help. You can take care of it. But the Bible said that he cried all the more, the louder he got. No, son of David! Have mercy on me. He knew that the only hope he had was Jesus. Do you imagine not being able to see color? Not being able to see anything at all. Nothing. The beautiful flowers. The beautiful colors and the wonderful landscape and all of nature, not being able to view that. He wanted to see. And he said, Lord, I need my sight. And what did Jesus do? He opened his eyes. And I want to tell you tonight, if you'll cry out to him, We tried to sing about it. About your cries have awoken the Master. But you know, if you'll just cry out to the Lord and let Him help you tonight, I believe that He'll meet you at this altar. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. Listen to me tonight. It is God's will that everybody leaves this building different than you came in. You've come in carrying a load tonight. I'm not going to tell you that when you leave this church, that problem that you've got, that situation, is going to be all resolved. But what I am going to tell you is that if you give it to Jesus and you say, "Here, Lord, I've spread it out before You. I've spread it out." If you'll do that, if you will do that, God's going to help you greater than you ever could imagine. If you'll just spread it out before Him and put it into His hands. Tonight, whatever your problems are, wherever you are in your life, if you're here tonight, young or old, and you're not ready to meet the Lord, if you died tonight in a car accident on your way home, you know that you'd go to hell, or you don't know where you'd end up, I want you to know tonight, this is your opportunity to leave from here knowing that you're saved. You can leave from here with your sins forgiven. You can leave your burdens at the altar and say, "Jesus, I want You to help me with them." You don't have to live. You know what? You don't have to be what the devil tells you you are. You don't have to be that. But you can have victory. You can have victory. You can live for the Lord. You can be changed tonight. Those of you that are saved tonight, you're going through a battle, a trial, hard situation. And it's been hard to carry and hard to deal with. I want you to know, you need to spread it out before the Lord. You see, the Lord already knows about it. But when you spread it out before the Lord, you're telling Him. You're telling Him, "God, I'm telling You because I know that You're able. And I know that You're all powerful. And here I'm putting this out before You so that You will help me with it. And You'll give me the victory." Tonight, you can make that change. If you just come and tonight and say, "Lord, here it is. Here's my problem." Tell you what I'm going to do tonight as you stand all over the house. Just one more time. Just bow your heads just one more time. I'm not going to have you standing long. I just wonder tonight, would there be anyone here? You're not ready to meet God. You're not saved. Your heart's not right. I want you to step out of your seat tonight. This is not to embarrass you. Oh, no, not at all. That's not what this is about. But I want you to step out of your seat and come and find an altar of prayer. I want you to find an altar of prayer. Would there be one? Would there be anyone? You've got an opportunity tonight. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You want to find the Lord tonight and ask Him to come into your heart. You have an opportunity. What would it be in this service tonight? What would it be? All right. Now I'm going to ask tonight, and I know there's some here. But I want you tonight, if you're carrying a burden and you're carrying a load. This is not so everybody can see you, but this is so that you could say and acknowledge, "Lord, I'm giving it to You." I want you to step out from where you are. You're going through a trial. You're going through a burden. You need God to help you tonight. I want you to step out. And I want you to find a place to pray. And I want you to spread it out before the Lord. And I want you to tell Him, "Lord, this is what it is. You know about it. God, You know where I am. You know what the enemy's telling me. You know what the devil's telling me." Find a place to pray tonight. Those of you that are left, find someone tonight. Pray with them or find a place to pray yourself. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you need to come tonight and give your life to Him. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without calling out to the Lord. Don't leave this church house tonight without calling on the Lord. But let the Lord help you tonight. Let Him give you what you need. find a place to pray tonight, all that will, all over the house. Let the Lord help you. Let Him help you in the service tonight. Let Him give you victory. Oh, yes. Come on, saints of God, pray. Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord move your situation tonight. Spread it out before God.
You get that prayer cloth tonight before we go home. And we also want to announce the offering. We want to thank everybody tonight for the giving to Brother Jack and Cheryl Taylor, $625. So we ought to give the Lord a big hand clap of praise for that. $625. So I really appreciate the way the people has responded tonight. And like I said, the church take care of Brother Dwayne Cornett. We're honored tonight to have him with us. And we want Brother Dwayne Cornett's wife to stand and testify. So glad to have her with us tonight. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I learned many years ago traveling that Brother Johnny Shepherd fixed me real straight now on a pastor's wife or evangelist's wife. And he said that you're only as good as your wife now. And he fixed me on that. And I thought ever since then, over the years, even as pastoring, you know, a lot of times we forget to recognize those preachers' wives, those pastors' wives. And they've got just as big a role in this than he does. Because Brother Dwayne is measured by his wife. And I know sometimes the wives don't like that, but it's the truth. Brother Dwayne said, she's taller than me, praise God. But nevertheless, you are measured by your... The wives seemingly get the spotlight more than the preacher. But we honor her tonight, Sister Cornett, and all the sacrifice she makes with Brother Dwayne Cornett and the work that they've got at Garden Acres. And we're going to try to go over to their revival. I told Brother Dwayne to send me a flyer. They're going to be in revival on the 15th. And we're going to try to go over there, Lord's willing, and all of us take a bunch over there and help them. Appreciate the crowd that they brought tonight. I told him I envy him because of that bus. That's been my dream for quite some time. And when me and Brother Carter pulled over there at Garden Acres and seen that bus, my eyes, I said, look at that. And it's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you can do a lot of work with that. We're glad of all of you that's come out tonight. And like I said, 625 for Jack and Cheryl Taylor. We're going to pray over this prayer cloth tonight in our dismissal, but we're going to get your testimonies, and we'll pray over that prayer cloth for Jacob. And I was quite honored this morning that the superintendent of Fayetteville Parish Schools asked me to lead them in prayer. Now, I've been praying up there with them. I speak at the Veterans Memorial Service, and I've been speaking at the graduation. And they asked me to speak this morning. And the board of the school board was there, and they pulled me off to the side, and they said, Pastor Sandlin, we're honored that you could do this for us, but said, we have to hurry. We have to pray before the bell rings. I said, sure, that's no problem. They said, because it's against state regulation to say prayer during school hours. But you know what we did? We went out there for the bell ring. When we got out there, there's about 150 kids under that flag. And they's praying. And they prayed. They was touched by hearing the news of Jacob. Good boy, don't bother nobody. Sophomore. 16-year-old boy. Didn't know what was going on. Just waking up in the middle of the night having severe headaches. Didn't understand why he was waking him up. Took him for an MRI Monday and had him in surgery on Friday. You don't realize, folks, you could be here today, gone tomorrow. All of us think we're faring good and all of a sudden. And that's why we need to live as if today's our last day. So we're going to do that. There was something else we needed to pray for tonight. I know Sheldon and Paulina and F.G. Wagers had the biopsy on his lung. And he was diagnosed last year right here in our church and testified he had lung cancer on the left. They went in and took that, Brother Dwayne. And he testified about that third pew right there. Testifying of salvation, God saved his soul. and cried, and he's been an inspiration to a lot of us here. And he's missed tonight. And he's worried. He told me Wednesday night, he said, Brother Bob, he said, I'm 74 years old. He said, I've lived my life. If God wants to take me, I'm ready to go. I said, we're not ready to give you up just yet. But I know what he's saying. It means something to be ready to go tonight. So we've enjoyed the service. I guess if us pastors, we like to have gully washers. We like to have an outpouring. We like to have shouting and speaking in tongues and running the aisles. But not every night's like that. There's some nights we have to settle down and hear us preaching like that. That's some good preaching. And we've got it on CD. And y'all welcome to it. Let me know. I'll burn you off. One takes 30 seconds and I'll burn you a CD. You can take it home with you tonight. And he'll be on the website. We're going to put him global. He'll be global here tomorrow. And we'll put him on the website and let about 1,000 people hear him. And we love Brother Dwayne Cornett. Ashley. Praise God. Let's give Ashley a great big hand tonight. Ashley, we both work at the school. I work at Fayetteville Parish School District, and she works at Blanchester School District. And we see thousands of kids a day. And we see all kinds of kids. And I drive a school bus, so I'm around kids every day in my life. And that is so special in such a sin-cursed world that we live in. And when that shooting went on, I had to go through special classes to awareness on how to read children, how to understand them. And my wife will have to go through some things too. But them kids know when they see Jesus.
That's right.
And they see Jessica and they see my wife and they see little Ashley. They say there's something different about those people. And you'd be surprised, Sister Ashley, what influence you're leaving behind. Keep shining your light, sis. I appreciate a mom and daddy that are raising a little girl in the way of holiness. Not compromise. Mom, not a preacher. I tell you, I better leave that alone. But tonight, we... Yes, sir.
He was in the hospital, lost that happy bud, and on the verge of a massive heart attack, and stroke, and he had 3 liters of blood. The Lord touched him, and now mom's working him pretty
That's good, Brother James. That's good. Let's all stand all over the building. Amen. We're going to do this in dismissal. Brother Dwayne, you can come up this way. All you brothers and sisters. We've got a few here. Brother Carter's. I don't know really how to put this in a good way. But at the same time, I want you to know the urgency of it. He's my brother here, my sister-in-law, Sister Anna, has got a daughter that is in desperate need. I can't even emphasize that enough. Desperate. Got this family in her in pieces. And you say, well, you know, I understand, Brother Bob, we'll be praying. If that was yours. If that was yours, you'd be thanking God. I can't say much more, but desperate need. And then we've got this young boy named Jacob that as of today, when we all prayed, the principal, before I got on the bus, I paged him and asked him the results. He said he was out of surgery. He was out of surgery. He was in intensive care. So that was the latest from the parents. Let's believe that God's going to bring Jacob back home. That'd be good. Praise God. Let's pray on this. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know each and every one, Lord, right here tonight. God, you know the needs, Lord, that's before us. God, Lord, this young man, Lord, that lays, Lord, God, in the hospital. God, his family, Lord, God, we ask you, Lord, God, to touch, Lord, and deliver. God, bring him home, whole and healthy. God, we ask you, Lord, to help Crystal, Lord, God. God, Lord, wherever she's at, Lord, tonight. God, bring her, Lord, home safely. Help her to see, Lord, her need for you more now than ever before. God, strengthen, Lord, God, and bring home, Lord, God, help the family. God, help us, God, to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Can we give the Lord another praise offering for $625? Thank God for your giving tonight. And let's thank the Lord for this service. And tell Brother Dwayne, as you shake hands, how much you appreciate this preaching. Lord, we thank you, God, today for the Word. We thank you for the Spirit tonight that we felt. We thank you, Lord, for the gathering together of your saints. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us and keep us as we go our separate ways. God, till we meet again in your love, protect us, guide us, and shield us. In Jesus' name, amen. Shake hands and be friendly. Sister Lisa. Yes. Before we all go real quickly, thank you, Sister Lisa. Brother Jack Taylor. Go get Brother Jack. I want to do this. We requested this a few nights ago, and I let it slip my mind. Brother Carter, you stand in for Sheldon. Brother Jack, I need someone to stand in for Brother Wagers. FG. All right, we committed ourselves, thanks to Sister Lisa, I almost forgot. Every service, until we see the hand of God move, we've got three men in this church that has cancer. Brother Jack Taylor, Brother Sheldon Henderson, Brother F.G. Wagers. Folks, prayer changes things tonight. Let's believe it. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, Brother Sheldon, God, Brother Wagers, God, Brother Jack Taylor, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to move, help and deliver. God, overshadow their body, Lord. God, help them to rest good tonight, Lord. Bring them to the house of the Lord. God, with praise and thanksgiving, Lord, we know that you've got all power. Heaven and in earth, God. God, give us victory over this, Lord. Lord, that others will see and fear, God, and know that you're all powerful. God, we'll give you the honor and the praise. Let it be so. Let it be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Thank you tonight. Shake hands, be friendly.
Woo!
Hallelujah.